I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anilio, and you're listening to The Functional Nerds. This is going to be episode number 249.
And that is Patrick Hester. He's an author, a blogger, and a podcast dude, a Hugo Award-winning podcaster for the SF Signal podcast. Check him out at atfmb.com and follow him on Twitter at atfmb. My name is John Anilio. I'm a musician, a podcaster, and a teacher, and you can check out my website with some of my music over at johnanilio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at John Anilio. I should also mention that we have a Patreon. So if you'd like to, you know, support the podcast, get a little more value into the podcast, help us do some new and exciting things, go to patreon.com/functionalnerds. Patrick, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing just fine. We're recording this in the beginnings of fall in New Jersey. So it's the weather is very nice out today. So I'm feeling good.
I've actually got Mile High Con coming up. That should be this weekend.
Yeah. So this is going to be another Worldcon episode, as we talked about at the beginning of the Fran Wild episode. Patrick records anywhere from 70 to 90 interviews when he goes to Worldcon and some of these other cons. Actually, he toned it down this year, I know, because and I think you may have mentioned this on air before, but so, you know, Patrick has two Johns in his life, mm-hmm. and meaning guys with the first name John, not the other kind of John.
Yeah, they just beat me up and they never give me any money.
And it's myself and John DiNardo, who John DiNardo and I always get, mistaken for each other quite a lot online. I swear to God, people email me sometimes and I'm like, yeah, I don't really run SF Signal. I know we're kind of, you know, connected a little bit. But anyway,
the funny thing is John DiNardo actually does accept requests to come play live. He can't play any instruments. He can't sing. But he still goes and takes the money.
Yeah. So Patrick had mentioned how, you know, DiNardo and I both get excited when he goes because, you know, Patrick, when he goes to these cons, like, you know, you get content for the podcast for, you know, a good month or two or more. And it sounds great in the beginning, but then you realize, like, well, I'm not really doing anything then for a month. And after the first couple of weeks, it's kind of a nice little break. But then you're like, but I want to be on the podcast more again.
I wanted to interview Fran Wild.
Yeah. And so I you know, before he went, he's like, well, what do you want me to do? And I'm like, well, let's do some, but don't go crazy, you know? So we have a couple more that we're going to run for you, because it is really nice to hear that face-to-face. I listened to the episode with Fran Wall, and I'm like, it's so nice to be in the same room with people. Mm-hmm. And Fran, you were outside, but, you know, it's just, it adds something to the conversation when, I mean, even though we do it over video, so we could see people's expressions and that helps a lot, you know, being in the same room is always the best option. Yeah. And that's going to be a very high Patreon goal, where we move to each other's city and live in the same town, and then we fly our guests in. That's a really high Patreon goal, but it can happen. You don't know that. Patrick can move to New York, and we could set up shop there, and we'll start a TV show too while we're at it. It'll be great. These are very high Patreon goals. Yeah. We're not anywhere near there yet.
Yeah, because I want to be in that comedy where I'm, you know, running through the streets of New York and I've got the coat with the scarf on and I take my hat and I just throw it up in the air and spin around.
Have you been to New York before? Have you ever been?
No,
really?
Never. Yes,
you've been to Boston a bunch lately, but never. You have to, you know, I have to go to Comic-Con one of these years. It's so stupid that it's right here and I never go, but like maybe there's
one of my personal goals. Everybody keeps telling me that I need to go to Denver Comic-Con.
Okay.
And I hear Comic-Con and my skin crawls.
Oh yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm just thinking of all the people, and it's the introvert in me, right? I'm worried that I'm going to be freaking out and on overload because there's just so many people.
Right.
WorldCon, World Fantasy, Mile High Con, it's in the low 1,000 to 2,000, 3,000 kind of people, you start going into Comic-Con and you start getting into the teens, right?
Oh, yeah.
10,000 people, 11,000 people. It's not Dragon Con, 70,000 people.
Right.
Or SDCC, you know, which also has like 70,000 people, something like that. But it's still a lot of people. And, you know, I've been hanging out lately with the Beyond the Trope podcast folks, and I did an interview with them over on SF Signal. If you want to check them out, they're local here to Denver, and there's three writers who are in a critique group together, and they decided to start a podcast, and they just like jumped. They went right to Denver Comic Con, mm-hmm. and I keep thinking Denver Comic Con is this old. It's like 4 years old, right? Mm-hmm. They haven't been around very long, but that was like their first con experience, and they love it. And they said, you know, they get to meet so many people and stuff. So I personally do want to start going to Denver Comic Con. And if I did that, you know, there's a possibility that we could have interviews with people like Edward James Olmos, who showed
up.
Or, you know, Spike was there 1 year, James Marsters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's entirely possible that I could get, you know, different kinds of people and have those kinds of interviews as well.
Yeah. Well, Rob Bedford has a media pass for New York Comic Con. And I'm like, I never even thought of that. Mm-hmm. I could probably get one. Like, I should do that. You know, I mean, I don't know if he's going to get to interview a lot of people or not, because being NYCC is very big, but he might. I mean, he's there. I mean, that's conceivable what the media pass is for, right? You know,
I
mean,
when I go to WorldCon, I do actually get the press ribbon,
mm-hmm.
and I use the press room, and they do give me, like, I could have at the Hugo ceremony, if I wanted to, there was a press area.
Okay.
That I could have gone and sat in, but since I had JT and Alicia with me when we wanted to sit together, I went ahead and sat in the main audience. But I could have been up in the, I think it was up in the balcony, and there was a press area.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. All right. Let's get on to our, before we have the interview that we're going to be running today, let's get on to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
And I will go first, and I'm going to pick another podcast. It is a pretty new podcast. It's only got about 10 episodes out, and it is the No Guitar Is Safe podcast. And it is put out by Guitar Player Magazine. And what's great is it's not like Guitar Player Magazine, these are the articles, where it has really actually very little to do with the magazine. It's just the guy that hosts it writes for Guitar Player. So I think this is he wanted to do one, and he got Guitar Player's stamp of approval to put it out, and they sort of brand it that way. But it's basically just an interview with him. His name is Jude Gold, and I've seen his name if you've read Guitar Player magazine at all over the past 10 or 15 years. He's written a ton of articles, done tons of interviews in there. He's a fantastic guitar player in his own right. And what I've really loved about this podcast so far is that, first of all, the episodes are long. They're all at least an hour long. Some of them get near the two-hour mark. Some of the guests that he's had on in the first 10 episodes include Joe Satriani, Billy Sheehan, Kevin Cadigan, who's the guitar player from Third Eye Blind, Brad Gillis from Night Ranger, James Valentine, the guy from Maroon 5. So he's had like all these like really great guests, some lesser known guitarists as well. But what's awesome about it, which I love, like sort of the hook of this podcast, it's not just him in a room talking with the guy. They are actually set up where he has his guitar plugged into a little amp, and they have their guitar plugged into a little amp. And it's mostly just the conversation between the two. But then they'll be like, hey, what's that lick that you played on that song? And then the guy will play it, and then they'll do a little bit of jamming. And I thought that would be a little distracting at first, but it's awesome. It's great. So if you're – it's so cool because they'll do these little things, and they'll be like, well, what about this? And so if you're a guitar player especially, it's a great show because they really – and it's not as technical as it sounds. It's not like, well, I'm doing a G-sharp minor here. It doesn't get that nuts and bolts about it. It's more it's much more about like they're talking about their career and their creative process, and it's a lot of like joking and camaraderie. And because Jude Gold is a touring guitar player too, he's actually plays with Jefferson Airplane right now. So they you know, it's a lot of like life on the road talk. But it is, they do get into some like sort of gear stuff, and they're like, well, I like using this pedal and I like this, and it's just so cool to hear. The audio is great on it. I think they use a really nice Zoom recorder. And they just use like these two little Roland practice amps. I think this guy just goes to like, if he happens to be in the same town with a guy for a tour. They just go to each other's hotel rooms and they set up the mics and they record. So it's great. It's really cool to hear like the playing. He's like, oh, well, I'm doing this kind of pull off thing here. And it's like, so it's like they sort of complete their sentences with guitar licks. It's really cool. If you're a guitar player, you got to give it a shot. And even if you're just like a fan of guitar music, it's music that features guitar, totally worth checking out. So yeah, it's the No Guitar Is Safe podcast. That is my pick. I think you would dig it, Patrick. I think you'd enjoy it. So what is your pick this week, Patrick?
I didn't hear anything you said after Jefferson Airplane.
Did I really crap out?
No, I went, we built this city.
Oh, okay.
We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city.
Now, it was kind of like what I was saying with that that festival that I went to a few weeks ago. Yeah. I think in Jefferson Airplane, it's like, you know, the bass player
right.
is the only member. Like, it's not Grace Slick. It's
not. She quit years ago. She said, look, yeah. I'm too old for this shit. I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah. So it's like a younger woman that's singing. Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, I know people get like kind of, oh, screw that. But it's like, hey, man, like there are some bands that if there's a certain member that I like, I mean, especially if it's at a festival where you're seeing like a lot of other bands too, it's like, yeah, that's cool, man. Like, hey, if you want to go out and play and some people want to go see you, like, I don't begrudge.
But Grace Slick basically, I mean, she made the decision herself. She's like, look,
yeah,
I wouldn't want to go see some old broad up there trying to belt out songs from the 60s. She's mm-hmm. like, so I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. The singing is the hardest part because, right. you know, when I went to that festival, Skid Row was there, a Sebastian Bachless Skid Row. And the guy that they had is a guy named Tony Harnell, who's a good singer. He couldn't quite sing all that stuff. Right. And it was like pretty disappointing and a little hard to get through. It's like they go up to those high notes and he was like really straining on it. And look, that stuff is so hard to sing to begin with. And I'm sure the 25-year-old versions of themselves probably had a tough time. The 50-year-old versions have an even tougher time. So that's a danger of that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know. Anyway, so that's my pick this week. What's your pick then?
So you know that I've been doing Friday night, like two Fridays a month, been doing a game night with mm-hmm. folks here locally. Have you ever done any tabletop gaming, John?
No, not really. Okay. It's something I want to get into, but I haven't.
Are you familiar with Munchkin?
Yes. John Kovalik.
Yes. So there is a Pathfinder edition.
Yes, I've seen that.
And I got to play the Munchkin Pathfinder Deluxe Edition.
Mm.
And I had a lot of fun with it. And the deluxe is that there's actually a board mm-hmm. and these little stand-up pieces that represent your characters and mm-hmm. stuff. And it's a really cool game. It's a card game, essentially. And the Munchkin game itself is just basically you are trying to get to a certain level, like it's level 10, by doing like a role-playing. And it is playing off the tropes of role-playing games, you know, like, and kind of doing them in a humorous way. Written by Steve Jackson and, as you said, illustrated by John Kovalik. The Pathfinder edition takes all of the, like, real Pathfinder stuff. It's official and puts it in there. And it was a blast to play.
Cool.
And the cards themselves, you kick open the door is what's mm-hmm. called. Kick open the door and see what happens. And that means you turn over a card and you might end up fighting a beast of some kind of creature. And I actually had, so my phone was dying. And I have the little battery charger that Fran Wild has. Mm-hmm. You know, I ended up buying that. And so I had that charging my phone sitting on the table. And I kick open the door and I'm probably level 2, I think. And I come across a blog goblin. And the blog goblin is level 6 and has a +3 against anyone who has a laptop, smartphone, or tablet at the table when this card comes out. So I was already now fighting a level 9, and I think I was level 3. But that cracked me up because I had my phone sitting on the table. I never expected a card like that, right? You never think about it. But that's one of the irreverent kinds of things that happen in this game. And it's not a cooperative game. There's a lot of those out there, and I've got several myself. It's you're definitely, you know, going against the other players and trying to get to that level 10 first. and you're sabotaging other people, you're helping them, you know, giving charity, helping them to get them to give you stuff and all this kind of, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So
cool.
Munchkin Pathfinder, that's my pick this week. And the deluxe edition is the one I played, so.
Cool. Awesome. Well, that sounds great. I really do have to get into that. It's one of those things on my list. On my list.
Ridiculously fun, easy to play, easy to learn. I mean, it was we did two games. The first game was like 20 minutes.
Okay. Cool.
Boom, done.
Good. Well, I will check that one out then. Cool. All right, Patrick, who's our interview subject this week?
Our interview subject this week is Tina Connolly. And Tina is an author. She's got lots of books out there. Her current book is called Seriously Wicked. And the tagline on it is, "The only thing worse than being a witch is living with one." And it's about a character whose adopted mother wants her to grow up to be just like her. The problem is, the adopted mother is a wicked witch.
Cool. Very good.
And it's set in it's like almost like an urban fantasy, in that it's this is a student who's going through like high school. She's having to do algebra. She's doing all this stuff, and her friends start becoming zombified. And there's a dragon that they have who's tired of hiding in the garage, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's just it sounds wonderful. Right.
Cool.
And Tina, we sat down at Worldcon and talked about the book, and she was so excited about this new book coming out. So, you know, we just had a great time.
Cool. Cool. All right. Well, enjoy Patrick's interview with Tina Connolly.
I'm sitting here at the 73rd World Science Fiction Convention in Spokane, Washington. We also call it Sasquan, but I haven't seen a Sasquatch yet. Yeah. I've seen a Master Chief. I've seen Boba Fett in sand gear, which was kind of interesting. I've seen lots of steampunk people, but no Sasquatch yet. And my name is Patrick Hester. I'm your host, and I'm sitting here in the press room, and I get to chat with Tina. Tina, why don't you tell people who you are and what you do?
Hi, I'm Tina Connolly. Thank you so much for having me here today, Patrick. Yes, even though we haven't seen any big feet. Mm-mm. I have seen a big wagon. Pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah. The big what?
The big red wagon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The radio flyer.
Yeah.
I saw that, too. That's cool.
It probably belongs to Bigfoot.
That's awesome.
Or his kids.
It's got the big slide and everything
on it.
Yeah,
I went down. It was awesome.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Of course.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So I'm Tina Connolly. I have the Iron Skin series out, and my new series I'm working on is a very lighthearted YA fantasy series that just kicked off with Seriously Wicked. About a girl who lives with a seriously wicked witch, which has been really fun to work on.
Yeah.
I also do a lot of podcast narration. I had Toast to Cake, which just finished up after 150 episodes, which I am sad to finish up, of course, but I have two books due in the next year. So
sure.
Sometimes prices have to be paid.
Understood. So that's why you were interested in my H2, my Zoom.
Yes, that's what I was asking you all about your mic.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And I was going to say, did you know somewhere over here there's supposed to be like a Japanese glass park?
No.
Something, and someone told me, I haven't had a chance to go over there and look yet, but it's supposed to be right over here.
That
somewhere by the radio
cool.
flyer. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, the smoke, it's been kind of hard.
It's been horrible.
It's been beautiful. The river is gorgeous.
Yes.
I wanted to go explore that park.
And right now, it's what, like 11:15 in the morning, and it's pretty clear, and it looks gorgeous out there. But who knows what it's going to be like in a couple of hours.
Yeah,
the smoke's been really bad. I wasn't even sure. I looked on my phone because I set up Spokane as one of my weather alert things.
Uh-huh.
And every day I would look. And it says smoke, and I'm going, what the hell's going on in Spokane?
I know.
It's terrible.
I know. We were looking at that last night, and it's like the weather has improved from disastrous to highly dangerous.
Yeah. Yesterday is the first day they put the signs up on the doors and said, don't go outside.
Don't go outside, yeah.
It's like, really?
That's tough.
Howard Taylor from Schlock Mercenary actually got a mask and took a picture of himself and said, this is how I'm going outside. I'm going to wear this mask so I can walk outside.
It's a good plan. I mean, I've seen all the steampunk people around and thought, you know, this was actually the year to come with a gas mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knew?
So is this your first WorldCon? I like to ask people that.
No, I was at Denver, actually.
Oh, really?
Several
okay.
years ago. So this is my second, and I'm definitely going to Kansas City next year because I'm from Kansas originally, so it'll be nice to have a little bit of a homecoming.
Sure.
I'm actually from Lawrence, so I can Kansas City.
Do you know Jeremiah Tolbert?
I definitely do.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
We went to the same high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's actually, it was a great story with Jeremy. We never met while we were in Lawrence, so we didn't connect until some random Clarion West party many years later, and we're doing the... So where are you from? Oh, I'm from Kansas. Wait, I'm from Kansas. Wait, I'm from Lawrence. And then we found out we knew all these people in common.
I've had I had that experience a couple days ago with Beth Cato.
Yeah.
She said she's from the Central Valley. And I said, oh, we're in the Central Valley. She's in Hanford. I said, I'm from Fresno. She's like, oh, my God. You know? And very famously, SF Signal's John DiNardo and Tour.com's Irene Gallo went to the same high school.
Wow.
And so
I love what a small world it
is. They have that connection. Yeah, it's kind of cool. So not your first WorldCon. You went to Denver. That's actually where I live.
Oh, yeah, right.
So that's kind of cool that you got to go to that one. But that's been a few years. Have you gone to other ones between?
No other WorldCons. I usually I usually hit up World Fantasy and then some of the Northwest cons.
Like, I love World Fantasy. Yeah. That's a great con.
That is a great con. Yeah. Yeah. And it's great to kind of go get the chance with any con to go to different places.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Are you thinking about going to...
I will definitely be in Saratoga this year, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I was at the last Saratoga, too, and it was a great con. So
okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
What about Helsinki? You going to go to Helsinki?
Oh.
I think that... Is that
yes, they won the bid. They won the bid. Okay. Yes. I'm super excited they won the bid. I would love to go. I do have two kids under five, so the probability of me going is actually
expensive.
Very slim. And yes, yeah. But...
Okay.
I'm so happy they won. I think it's going to be amazing. I wish I could go.
I think it's going to be a pretty big con, you know,
Are you planning to go?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But I was talking to some of the Dubliners, and Gareth was telling me that they're planning a road trip.
Oh.
So they're gonna just basically load up something with a bunch of Guinness and drive from Dublin, take the ferry across, and then just drive across Europe and go all the way to Helsinki.
That's pretty cool. That'd be an epic road trip.
That would be. Yeah. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your story. Go ahead, take a drink. Take a drink first.
My honey tea.
So I just want to know a little bit about your story. You know, your books.
Oh, the book that I'm currently... Yeah. So the Seriously Wicked series, again, it's been really fun to work on something kind of lighthearted. My first series, which I also love, the first one was nominated for Nebula, Iron Skin. And it was a darker, quasi-semi-historical fantasy series. And I absolutely loved working on it, but it has been a nice change of pace to do something that gets to exercise what I consider to be my hilarious comedic skills and work on something lighthearted and funny for a change.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's a girl who lives with a wicked witch, but it's in, you know, modern times, and her mother, the witch does horrible things like, you know, turning her into 1500 worms and making her compost the garden. So it's been very entertaining.
That would be, yeah, that's strange.
Yeah.
That's different. I thought you were going to say turn her into a toad or something, but turning into 1,500 worms, how does that work?
I don't even exactly know, but if, you know, if anyone could do it, that witch could, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many books in the Iron Skin?
There were three of those.
Okay, so it was a trilogy. Uh-huh. Any plans to revisit that universe?
Not at the moment, but it was kind of a unique trilogy because the first one loosely follows Jane Eyre, and so the main character is the Jane character. And then the second one switches over to her sister, and it loosely follows a different Bronte novel. And then the third one is set about 18 years later, and it follows, if you remember Jane Eyre, there's the little girl in it that Jane comes to governess, and so it follows her all grown up. So it's sort of a loosely connected trilogy. And
okay.
That was really neat to write, and... while I have no current plans to revisit it, certainly the world lends itself and the way I worked on it to jumping off to other people in the world, which would be interesting. But
what about the Wicked universe?
They're both through Tor. Tor has picked up three of those, so I'm working on. I just turned in number two. I still have to do edits on it, and then number three is due in spring. So I'm working on those. But it's not exactly a trilogy. It's more of a it's like an open-ended series. Each one is its own adventure.
I was going to say, it sounds like that's what you did with the Iron books. Even though they're connected.
That's true, yes.
It's a standalone story.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you could pick up one and read it and not have to worry about the other two.
Right, because they each have a different...
Obviously, you'd prefer that someone pick up all three.
Yes, well...
Sure. And that sounds like something that you're doing with the new one as well, which mm-hmm. is good because they're... I mean, not too long ago, we did a panel on SF Signal where we talked about standalone novels because mm-hmm. people want standalone novels. Mm-hmm. Publishers want trilogies. Mm-hmm. But people want to be able to pick up a book, read it, enjoy it, get that satisfaction from that story, mm-hmm. and then move on.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and I have to admit, I love a good series too. But
series fatigue, I think, is what they call it.
Yeah, I have heard that from people. I have. And I personally love reading series.
I do too.
And I also love reading standalones. Mm-hmm. But so far I'm not sure if I'm able to... I started out definitely in short stories the way a lot of people did. So, you know, it took me a while to figure out an entire story that encompasses 60,000 words. So some of it I think is just me. At this point, I don't have an epic story that I want to tell that encompasses 300,000 words, and each book has to end with a cliffhanger to get the whole thing across. So far, that's not how my mind works. But I do enjoy those, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think especially within the fantasy community, mm-hmm. The series fatigue probably comes from, you know, the Robert Jordan and the Terry Goodkind and the George R. R. Martin,
sure.
who do these really long-running series.
I think some of it comes from not knowing when you're going to get your next fix.
Right, which is my roommate. my roommate here, mm-hmm. JT, he has all of the Martin Game of Thrones books. He has not read a single one yet.
Right.
And he won't start until the last one is published.
I totally see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it.
And I asked him, I said, what happens if something happens and the last one is never published? He's like, then I never read the books.
Then I'll never read the books. That's just the way it is, yeah. No, I totally see that. I have a Robin McKinley book on my bookshelf that, you know, I bought it right when she wrote it because I love her work. I'm going to go ahead and support her and get it the book. But that was like 4 years ago, and everyone told me, you know, it ends with a cliffhanger and there's no sign of the next one out. And it's fine. She can write it whenever she's ready to write it, but I'm going to wait to read it until I've got all of them mm-hmm. because otherwise I will be like, no, tell me what happens next.
Well, it's funny because I actually got my mom into fantasy. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that difficult because she likes movies uh-huh. and she likes to do like the SFNF movies. But for some reason, I just thought, this is the book for mom. And I gave her Green Rider by Kristen Bertain. Mm. And so now that's become a series. Oh, and my mom loves it. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, every time a book comes out, she gobbles it up. And then she's like, is there any word in the next one? Do you know what? I said, Mom, they just brought... This is the hardcover.
Right,
it's
right.
brand new. Give the woman a chance. Wait, you know?
Yes.
And so she... It's kind of cute because she did follow her on Facebook so she could get updates. Mm-hmm. You know, and my mom doesn't use Facebook well at all. Uh-huh. But she follows Kristen Bertain so that she can see, you know, updates on when the next book's coming out.
That's nice. I like that.
It's hilarious.
Well, it's interesting to see what a lot of self-published people are doing now, too, with the sort of linked novellas and, you know, the series mm-hmm. of like 5 or 10 of those that are shorter novels that come out. And I think as an author, were I to try that method, I feel like it would be easier as an author to maybe just get all those written first, and then you would not, at least I would have mm-hmm. this fear if I was going to try to do those on a deadline, like oh no, now I have this deadline and things are breathing down my neck. I can't think, you know.
Sure.
So if, you know, I have this feeling like, just like the guy who waits to read them all until they're all done, if as a writer you just write them all and then you know you can send them all out. Would be, you know, the money doesn't always work to do it that way, but I can see where that might be actually be less stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how's the book doing? Is it out yet?
Yeah. Seriously Wicked came out in May.
And okay.
Yeah. So that's been great. And then the next one will be scheduled for sometime next year. I don't have a date on it yet.
And there's a couple questions I always like to ask people. One, mm-hmm. who was your editor?
Melissa Frayne at Tor, who's wonderful. I love her
okay.
pieces.
Okay. Yeah. And who did your cover?
Oh, it's She's fantastic. I got, well, for the Iron Skin series, I had Larry Restant on those, and he's awesome. They were gorgeous. And then the new one, oh gosh, now that you put me on the spot, I'm going to forget her name. I love her to pieces. It was a great story because she actually, so my cover for Seriously Wicked has this, it's a picture of a girl hanging down off the edge of her bed, like, you know, her head's down, she's reading a book, her feet are up in the air, mm-hmm. right? Oh, her name is Emma Goulding. Anyway, so after I see my cover, shortly after, someone friended me on Facebook with that cover as their profile pic, and I was like, "Oh, this seems suspiciously interesting," you know. So I clicked through and realized that she was the woman who had shot my cover, and so I got to asking her about it, and she said that the request had come in, and she hadn't had time to book a model for the pose that she had come up with for the they'd requested, like, you know, modern witch look and something fun and funny, and she hadn't had time to get a model, so she ended up shooting herself as the model, and she said it's been really funny to see her legs everywhere. But it's been great. It's a really nice iconic cover, so I've actually had fans tweet at me their own recreations of that cover.
Okay, that's cool.
Which has been totally awesome to get that kind of fan art response on it.
Have you ever heard of the Hildebrandt brothers?
No.
So they did a lot of famous Lord of the Rings imagery, and they did like the calendars every year. And one of the things that they would do is they would take pictures of themselves And then they would hand paint everything. Oh, but they would take pictures of themselves in the poses.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's all these pictures of them with towels around their heads, looking like robes, you know, and holding up broomsticks, you know, and that kind of stuff to get the pose that they wanted. And then they would go and start painting and stuff like that.
Yes, yes.
And I don't think anyone ever thought that they would like the pictures, but the pictures are hilarious.
Right, I bet.
You know, and people love to see those because it just gives an extra dimension to, oh, you know, I love this great shot of Gandalf that they painted.
Yes.
Here's the picture of them in a bathrobe and a towel.
That is awesome.
You know, that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, you know, I did a lot of art growing up. I still work as a face painter seasonally from time to time. And I was really interested in those sort of behind the cover art stories in high school and college. So I remember, tracking down a book, and it was by the name will come to me later. But it had a bunch of those behind the scenes pictures of his models, and like you said, with towels in their heads or holding the broomstick, and it was so awesome to see that.
Because you know you don't think about it, because you know you're probably thinking that they're drawing the circles and the squares,
right?
And you know, and they're doing the puppetry kind of thing, right? That I forget what it is. It's
we have the little model and you set it up.
And you're kind of drawing it that way.
It's so much easier to get shots of real people.
Yeah,
I really
posing in a way and doing that. So it's really cool. So I'm assuming Irene Gallo had a hand in your cover as well.
Yes. Well, you know, the first series went through the Tor side, which is definitely Gallo.
It was
amazing. And in fact, I've had a couple stories on Tor.com, and she's, oh my gosh, she's selected the most amazing artists each time. Yeah,
she's got an awesome eye.
Yeah, she really does. Everything at Tor.com just does the best artwork out there. It's amazing. So yes, I've been really delighted both times with my. I have in fact a Seriously Wicked story coming out at the very end of August. So that'll be out by the time this goes live, I assume, and it's called something like. That one seriously totally obnoxious time at Witch Romelda's 100th birthday party or something like that. Yeah, and they gave me this amazing cover with this little 4-year-old in a swimsuit fighting off this inflatable kraken in the swimming pool. It's amazing.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, what are you doing at Worldcon? Are you running around? Are you on programming? Are you talking to people?
Yeah, you know.
Selling your books at the booth?
No, it's been great fun. I love going to cons and getting a chance to kind of, you know, get away from the children whom I love and, you know, see adults for a while. So, you know, I always, you do that thing where you're going down the hallway and you see people you know every 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. So basically, I could probably spend 8 hours going down one hallway, and that would be a good con experience. I had a reading yesterday that was great. We did with Beth Cato, who mm-hmm. has a really great steampunk series out.
And she makes wonderful cookies.
Exactly. So she brought shortbread, and I brought artisanal marshmallows from Portland. I did not make them, but I did go to, like, the secret candy factory location.
That's awesome.
And pick it. Yeah, they were... And all these, like, graham cracker flavor, chocolate. While I was at the factory, they let me try a root beer sample.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's called Quinn Candy. They're really great. And anyway, well, he had a great reading because, you know, we bribed people with marshmallows and shortbread.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was very entertaining.
Yeah, Beth, I got to interview her, and she was talking about that. She had cookies with her, and I forgot to ask her about the cookies.
They were excellent.
And then later on, I saw her walking by, and someone else, I think it was actually Jeremiah, may have told uh-huh. me that he got a cookie from Beth Cato. And I'm like, wait a minute, damn it. I didn't get a cookie. I interviewed her. And so I saw her walking by as I was eating lunch. I'm like, Beth, where's my cookie? And she just stopped dead in tracks, looked at me, walked over, pulled out a thing, said, here.
Yes.
And so I had a cookie. I'm like, okay,
and they were
you.
Great, weren't they?
They were. I know. It was like a lemon,
yeah,
lemony
lemon
thing or something.
Cornmeal shortbread. Yeah. I know. Well, and then I was, you know, reading at the reading, so I didn't have time to get one until it's all over, and we're down to, like, you know, there's one left in the box, and Wesley Chu grabs. I'm like, no, you can't have the last shortbread. But he very kindly split it with me.
Awesome. Very cool. So what's next for Tina?
Let's see. I have to get book 3 written. That's due in spring. Mm-hmm.
Like a weekend?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Actually, it was great working on book 2 because I was kind of behind because of children who I blame for everything. but I went back to Kiz Johnson does a writing retreat. Mm-hmm. Well, she does a writing workshop in Lawrence, Kansas, where I'm from. And so you can go back, if you've done it, you can go back and do a retreat. So I went and wrote almost entirely the whole book in about 10 days while I was there.
That's awesome.
To at least get a draft down. Yeah. And then, of course, obviously that draft needed lots of work, but mm-hmm. you feel so much better once
sure.
you've got something on the page. Yeah. So let's see, I'm working on book 3. A friend of mine in Portland and I have been working on a play in the last couple years.
Cool.
Yeah, it was so awesome. We put it up as part of the Portland Fringe Festival last February. It's like a YA dystopia, and we did it as a trilogy. So you had to come back 3 different nights to see the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's like cliffhangers at the end of every episode, of course. So it was very like a TV series feeling.
Sure.
It was so much fun. And we're currently kind of revamping it so we can have a one-night version, too, to put up in Portland in December. And so that's fun. That's been a real treat to work on. I have a collection coming out next year, too, with Patrick at Fairwood Press.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so that'll be nice.
Yeah. Do you have a title for that?
I don't.
Uh-oh.
I've got time.
Well, believe it or not, we're coming up on our time. So is there anything else you want our listeners to know before I let you go?
No, I don't think so, but thank you so much for having me.
No problem. How about website and social media and all that good stuff again?
Oh, sure. I'm at tinaconnolly.com.
How do you spell Connolly?
Connolly.
There you go.
And I am also on Facebook and Twitter and those kind of things as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just search your name and you'll find you?
You will, yeah. And you can go to toastedcake.com if you want to hear the complete series of that, which is still out there. It was a flash fiction podcast and it was a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah. And obviously podcast listeners will love that. You know, they're going to want to go out and check that out.
That's right. Well, you know, picked up Parsec the first year for Best New Podcast.
Very good.
So that was pretty exciting. And I'm
That's
up
awesome.
Again this year for a couple stories I was involved in over at Podcastle and Pseudopod.
Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you very
awesome.
Much.
You yeah. did the extra work.
I did do the extra work. I had a very lovely award. They were very lovely, gracious people.
That's very cool. So you're going to go to Dragon Con?
I'm not, and I would love to. I really want to go some year. I really do, but not
I hear it's crazy.
This year. You haven't gone?
No.
Okay.
I hear it's crazy.
I know.
Absolutely crazy. All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Tina.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we're back. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Patrick and Tina Connolly. Go and check out some other episodes that we got.
Said that like we're married.
Oh, that
Patrick,
you're married.
Patrick and Tina Connolly.
Oh, Okay. Come on, John. Well, Patrick Come Hester on. And Tina Connolly. One Patrick Hester interviewing one Tina Connolly. Hope you enjoyed that. So go and check out all of her websites and all that kind of good stuff for us this week. You know, go. I won't even like say my own stuff. Just, you know, go if you like what we're doing. If you get value out of the show, go to our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/functionalnerds. And, you know, consider pledging a dollar a month or more. And the more support we get, the better the show will be, the better the website will be. It'll just be a much better experience for everybody. If you listen to the show every week, consider it. It would really help out a lot. Patrick, anything you want to mention before we go then?
No, I think that's good.
All right, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Mo.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
Still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?